And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome to the Leaf Report. This is Clark here. Hello, everybody.
Myrtle is on the mic. Myrtle, do you want to wrap us into the show today?
I was just doing my like warm-up to make sure my mic was working. All I said was Myrtle on the mic.
Did you know, and I'm guessing you don't know this, that Jay-Z was known for just doing one take? Like, he would just come into the booth, drop his lines, and that was it? Like, he didn't do rehearsals or record it like multiple times. Like, he was known for just dropping it the first time. And I guess we do that too.
Yeah, but have you ever, I've recorded music before, and you like go in a studio and you get like done like the tracks on a guitar, and like doing it in one take would be impossible completely,
right? Blocked. Especially like if you're rapping, like, and you're a lot of it is just like freestyle, and I guess some of it's in his head. I don't think he actually wrote stuff down. I think it was just in his head anyway.
Some bands like it to have like that authentic kind of sound, so they don't mind if there's little kind of imperfections in it. But I think a lot of music now is super overproduced, and like it's kind of, it's so computerized and everything that there used to be an album, like Metallica had an album that was called like Garage Days, and it was, you know, it used to be a thing that you would want it to kind of sound like it wasn't overproduced, but it's not really the way it is anymore.
When you listen to like old music, it kind of has more of that vibe.
Yeah.
You listen to like Zeppelin or anything like that.
I've actually been listening to some of that stuff lately.
Yeah, me too. Honestly, it's so much better, our ability to listen to like any kind of music now with like Spotify and Apple Music, and then you can just listen to literally anything you want anytime. Anyway.
I was just going to say, I love Spotify. I like how you just pick one song and then it just gives you a whole bunch of other stuff that it thinks is related to that.
And you're just like, I didn't even know this existed.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, no, it's been good, especially for an old guy like me who's kind of really fallen away from what's current in music. I'm able to kind of discover some new things, and now I know a few new songs, and sometimes I hear stuff and it's like, oh, okay, that's who sings. That's what Taylor Swift sings or whatever. I'm kind of getting an education in what current music is, so it's been good for that.
All right, well, this is not the music report. This is the Leaf Report.
One of the questions we got was about music, so maybe we'll save that for the reader listener questions.
Yes. Okay, that sounds good. I'm looking forward to that. Well, so we're 10 games into the year, and we're kind of doing a lot of 10-game looking at everything, looking at numbers, looking at performance. You've got a story coming on Wednesday, delving into the numbers. So I kind of want to take a big picture view of the season so far to start off. We'll get into some of the 5-on-5 issues. We'll talk a little bit about the depth questions on defense and upfront. And obviously, like you mentioned, we'll take some reader questions about music, about cooking pasta, about Jay-Z. So my first question, James, and first thing I want us to discuss is 10 games in the season, the Leafs are 7-2-1. Do you think they are meeting expectations or exceeding expectations?
This is one of those years, Jonas, and people are going to, we had some complaints, I think, after the last podcast that we were too negative because we spent the first, whatever, 20 minutes talking about, you know, the, some of the things that weren't working and things like that. This is one of those starts and one of those seasons where I think the record is better than they've played. So I'm fine to say meeting expectations. You know, right now, if this was an 82 game season, they would be on pace for 123 points, I think is the number. I don't think they've been that good, but you know, your record doesn't always 100% reflect how well you've played. I think they've been fine. And I was trying to get Sheldon Keefe after the game on Saturday to, you know, I was trying for a little bit of a different answer. I asked him if anyone, you know, who on the team had pleasantly surprised him, and he kind of said nobody. And so, you know, I think that if they had exceeded expectations, that would be a bit of a longer list. And I think he's right. I mean, I don't think there's any players. Justin Hall, I think, has been better than I was expecting. But for the most part, there haven't really been a lot of surprises. And the team sort of played about as well as we would expect, with some caveats in terms of there are some areas where they've been better than we expected and some that they've been worse.
Well, if I was going to answer your question, I would probably say Wayne Simmonds. I thought he kind of started not great. And then just with every game, I think he's looked better and better. He's really big and strong protecting the puck in the offensive zone. He's obviously good around the net. But yeah, to your point, like everything's been fine. I think like the 123 point pace, their competition just isn't that good. Like this division kind of sucks. Like who's like Montreal has been really good. Other than that, who would you look at and say, man, that's they got something cooking there.
Well, and it looks like, I mean, Ottawa's going to be just brutal. I mean, it looks like they're going to take a step back from last year. Edmonton.
Turns out you need good players, James. Like, that's a thing.
Ottawa was like kind of like a scrappy young team, but I think that, you know, they made some decisions like Matt Murray and Gudbranson and that is just going to push them back even further. So, you know, Edmonton's without Klefbom, I think their D looks pretty thin. Vancouver's had a really, really struggled this year. I thought they would take a step back, but I didn't know if it would be as kind of extreme as it looks like it's going to be. Calgary has, after some good games early on, has kind of hit a little bit of a wall. And, you know, Winnipeg's been surprisingly good in the games that I've seen. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's, if the Leafs play this well, they're going to be fine. But, you know, I think it's going to be a battle for that around that third, fourth, fifth spot. But, you know, right now it really looks like Toronto and Montreal are going to be the class of the division.
Well, obviously, like the big thing that's powered much of the success so far is the power play. I'm not sure, like, I would look at any. I mean, you mentioned Justin Hall. Of, like, the big guys, I'm not sure I'd look at any of them and say, like, they're really exceeding expectations. Like, I think Barner's been good. I don't think he's been great. I think Matthews has been good. I think he's been great at times. I think he was a little slow coming off that injury. Nylander's been hit or miss. Tavares, hit or miss, especially 5-on-5. Like, is there anybody that you think has really exceeded expectations individually?
Well, like I said, Justin Hall would be the one. And I don't know if I can think of anybody else. No, it's kind of, you know, you'd think 7-2-1, there would be people that would be standing out there. You'd be like, yeah, you know, like that guy has been. But it's like their very best players have been either at the level you thought they would be or maybe slightly below. And, you know, surprisingly disappointing. I think that there have certainly been moments that Morgan Rielly has struggled more than, you know, I think we chalked a lot of his issues defensively last year up to who he was playing with and playing through injury most of last year. And he doesn't really look like he's gotten to where you would expect him to be given the minutes he's playing. Yeah. It's almost like, you know what it is, Jonas? It's like too early to tell what we've got here. That's what
I
would say.
See, I would follow that by saying this is what having a lot of talented players is. Like, even when they're just good, when you're facing up against teams that don't have like that kind of firepower, it's good enough. Like, I'm trying to think of who... Oh, yeah, I was listening to Overdrive, and they were talking about the Senators, and McLennan was making the point, and it's a good one. Like, Ottawa has to play at, like, 80 to 90%. Like, they have to be almost perfect to win. And the Leafs can kind of play at, like, 50, 60, 40, just because they have... They can beat you with their power play. They can beat you, like... Matthews can be quiet a whole game in one shift. He scores. Same with Nylander. Like, they're just talented enough to beat you that way. And I mean, the goaltending, it doesn't show up in the numbers, but I think Anderson's been just fine, which is better than I think he could have hoped given last year.
The goaltending's weird. I don't know if you have a theory on this. I'm doing like a really deep dive into some of the early numbers after 10 games, and you know, overall save percentage is not great. I think they're down around 23rd or 24th in the league. 5-on-5, though, it's fine. Like, they're kind of a little bit above average or right around average. And I would think, you know, just the eye test, I would say that's probably about right, that that's how Anderson and Campbell have played. They've been, you know, fine. The numbers are really low because the penalty kill has gotten beat up a little bit. And I think that... I don't know. It's,
you know what else it is, James? Those first two games murder your numbers.
Right.
Like, if you look at Anderson, the last six starts, his 5-on-5 save percentage is like 939. Mm. It's just those first starts, like, they kick your ass a little bit. And we'll see. Like, I'm curious, like, what they do now for the next couple weeks without Jack Campbell, at least the next couple weeks. We'll know when he's coming back. Like, I'm pretty sure that they'll just roll Anderson, right? Like, there's no, until you get to that back-to-back, there's no way you're putting Hutchinson is there?
It depends how long this goes. And you know, one thing that's interesting, Jonas, is I don't think, looking at their cap situation, that they've put Campbell on LTIR. So there's a couple of reasons why that might not have happened, but one of the reasons is that they think he might be back by before the 24 days. So
right,
maybe it's like a 2 or 3 week injury instead of longer than that. But there could also be some cap implications of why they don't want to do that. Like, they can recall Hutchinson using the emergency recalls, or the Leafs aren't really saying why they're making all their daily cap moves. And it's hard to keep track of all of that right now. But that's one thing to keep in mind, is that potentially it's a positive that he's not on LTIR.
All right. Well, I want to get into one of the main kind of interesting points about the season so far. You're writing about it on Wednesday. If you haven't signed up for The Athletic, go to theathletic.com/leafreport, and you can check that out. We've got lots of stuff going on. 5-on-5, it's been kind of just very meh. And I wonder, digging into some of the numbers, why you think that is, or what you've discovered.
What you really see at even strength is a number that we call pace in analytics, which is often calculated by taking total shot attempts in a game. So shots attempts for and against, just like how fast is the game, like how much is happening every minute in a game. For the Leafs, that number has come way down. Like, it's come down dramatically. One of the highest drops in the league. They've basically gone from being a top five team in pace, and there being a lot of shot attempts, to I think the number 17th.
Yep.
To where they're slightly below average. So that's one of the things that really jumps out in the numbers, is they just look like a different team. Like, if you look at expected goals at even strength, it's not just that they're way down in terms of what they're producing. Let's see here. Expected goals last year, 2.63. This is just when Keefe was the coach last year, 2.63 expected goals for. This year they're down to 2.13. So it's down a half a goal a game. Or a half a goal every 60 minutes at even strength. Expected goals against is about the same. You know, so they've dropped a lot of offense, and they haven't really picked it up defensively. Where you do see the gains defensively is shots against are down a lot. Shot attempts against are down about 10%, 5 per 60 minutes. There's some positives there. Scoring chances against are down, about 2.5 per 60 minutes. So there are some numbers there that speak to some defensive improvement, but it looks like they've given back even more offensively when you look at the numbers at 5-on-5.
Well, I think what's been interesting to me, just watching, not even like looking at the numbers, and obviously we look at the numbers, but there seems to be a lot of shifts where there's full possession and there's long possession, just like controlling the puck around the perimeter in the offensive zone, but not really getting anything out of it.
It's like, like they have the puck up high in the offensive zone a lot, right? Like, it just seems like they're kind of it's more like they're trying to establish more of a cycle.
Yeah, and I think they have.
Maybe be more selective with when they're shooting it, or I'm not sure.
But what's weird about that, James, is like it seems like Sheldon Keefe wants the opposite. Like, he wants, one of the things that he talked about was pace, and not exactly in the terms that you're talking about it, but he said he wants the opposite. Like, he wants them to attack the net quicker to not let the defense get set up.
But that's not what's happening, right?
But that's not what's happening. And I wonder if it's like, John Tavares talked a little bit about it on Tuesday. I wonder if it's sort of what you're talking about, and this is kind of what he said, is they're trying to find more of a balance between playing better defensively, and maybe that's having some impact on how they look for their chances offensively.
I think that's the most logical explanation. I mean, one of the best ways to generate a high expected goals for is to get a lot of odd man rushes. And if you're paying a lot more attention to defense, it's going to be more difficult. You might be cutting down the number of odd man rushes coming back against you, but it's going to be harder to generate them too. So,
right. Well, if you're not blowing the zone like as often, you're just not going to get as many chances, right?
Basically, what I see in the numbers, Jonas, is that at even strength, they're kind of like average, maybe slightly above average. And the big difference for them from last year, or from, you know, based from other teams, their power play has been ridiculously good. Just off the charts dangerous.
Two units, James.
I mean, like, the results are ridiculous. You know, like, if that's Manny Malhotra's doing, then, you know, assistant coaches can't win coach of the year, but maybe there's some sort of a little trophy they can put on his desk or something, because it's early. Like, we're looking at a pretty small sample size. We're looking at whatever, you know, they're on the power play 4 minutes a game for 10 games, 40 minutes of ice time. And I'm sure other teams are going to try and adjust to what they're doing, but I can't recall. The Leafs have always been a good power play team the last, 4 years.
Yeah,
I can't recall their numbers being this high across the board.
Well, I'm working on something for Thursday, and I kind of looked at the two different units. And what's interesting is the Tavares Nylander unit has actually been better than Matthews Marner. But anyway, that's a separate thing. Let's get back to 5-on-5. One thing that's been very clear and a little concerning, I think, if you're the Leafs, is Tavares lines are just not—they're not generating anything. And they're trying all kinds of different things. Like, the latest thing at practice on Tuesday, they had Wayne Simmonds with Tavares and Nylander. We'll see if that works. They tried Mikheyev. They tried Hyman. They tried, did they try VC? No, they didn't try. Actually, they did try VC.
Yeah, VC
tried.
Was there.
They've literally tried everything. Tavares obviously hasn't scored 5-on-5. And so right now they're kind of just a one line team. Like, their third and fourth lines aren't giving them much of anything offensively. What would be like your concern level with Tavares and I guess Nylander and whoever else is going to be on that line?
I'm just looking at even strength points so far. The leaders are predictably Marner and Matthews. I think that probably includes the empty net goals in there though, right? For Marner. For whatever reason, NHL.com considers empty netters to be even strength, even though one team has six skaters on the ice and the other team has five.
Logical. So
the leading point producers at even strength are Marner, Matthews, then it's Justin Hall tied with Nylander with five. And then you get down to Riley, Tavares, Kerfoot, Muzzin, Spezza, VC with three even strength points. They're not, and then like everything else is like really low. But, you know, you'd want to see more output from Tavares and you'd want to see more output from whoever the third member of that line is. And they haven't really found a fit with that yet. So, and the thing too, is that, I mean, you wrote about this early on in the year that they're sheltering that line. So, you know,
Wait a second. No, sometimes. They were, right. They were, and now they can't.
Right. Yeah. And now Kerfoot's got an injury. I don't know if that was sustained during the last game or when that happened, but he wasn't in the lines at practice on Tuesday. So you know,
he did skate. He was skating a while beforehand with Thornton. So
right.
Who knows how serious it is. But James, like, do you know what's interesting is, like, so part of my story coming up later in the week is I looked at some of the Tavares numbers. All the shooting numbers continue to go down. His attempts, like his shots, his, all that stuff is down from last year when it was down from the year before. And that's like a little worrying, especially given how much they were stuffing him in the offensive zone early in the year. And obviously that's changed a bit. But that's like a little, like, I don't know if that's part and parcel of what he's talking about, of trying to be more responsible. I don't know if that's decline. He's 30. I don't know what that is.
I think you got to, you know, what's interesting, Jonas, in looking at this is that shot attempts are actually down across the NHL. And like, I haven't been able to dig into that enough to talk about why that's happening, but it looks like generally speaking, maybe that's the impact of no preseason and guys not playing for so long. And it's just like the pace in general in the league is down. And then you add on top of that, that the Leafs are down so significantly. I mean, I haven't seen those Tavares numbers. I didn't look at that specifically, which players are down, but it could just be that his drops in some of the shooting attempts and all that are in line with what's happening on the whole team. And, you know, maybe it's a stylistic thing that's happening for the Leafs right now.
Let me see. Since we're like going total nerding out. So last year, 9 shots per 60.
That was the alternate name for this podcast.
Nerding out. Yeah, that's good. So just like a couple off the top, like last year, 9 shots per 60. This year, 6. Last year, 10.5 scoring chances per 60. This year, 9. Last year,
and high danger, even 4.
This is 5-on-5. Yeah. Last year, high danger, 4. This year, 2. Like everything is down. So maybe that's part. That's a little worrisome for me because of the way they're built. Like they need him and they need that line to be really good. Because like you look at, like, if you're forecasting ahead and you're looking at those third and fourth lines, I'm just not sure what they're going to get, even when everybody's healthy. Like maybe when Thornton comes back, maybe you play him on the third line, you play him with, like, I don't know, VC and Simmons, and you protect the hell out of them. I just don't know where they're going to get offense. Travis Boyd might help. Nick Robertson might help. But it's a little like, I don't know. This is the balance you try to strike when you try to balance your roster by trading away Kapanen, by trading away Janssen, right? Like, well, you're just not going to be as potent maybe.
The Leafs have the best power play in the league right now at 43%. That's obviously not going to be sustainable. No one can score at 43%. I mean, like, the upper bounds of possibility is probably around 30%. So that's going to come down. And if you look at their overall, what's that?
I looked that up. That's in my story. It's like the last like decade, basically the best power play was last year with Edmonton and it was 29.5%. So
yes. Well, I said 30, so I was pretty close.
Bingo. Nice job. Yep.
Goals per game for the Leafs right now, they're 12th in the NHL, and that's with a power play that's completely off the charts. So, you know, at some point they're going to have to solve that puzzle of why they're not getting enough offense at even strength.
So I think there's a semi-interesting subplot on the...
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Back end right now, it's not a huge deal. It's a deal. And that's what the Leafs are doing, have done with their number 6, 7, 8 defensemen, and that's Dermott, Lettinen, Sandin. Sandin obviously hasn't played at all. Lettinen's gotten into a few games. He's not looked comfortable. When Dermott's been out there, I think it's been totally fine. But I think we should start, James, and talk a little bit about Lettinen. And for that, we need to deliver the... You're such an idiot. Wait, how does that quote go? This guy is such an idiot quote of the week.
I was probably crying a little bit. 13 years in this city and with the team, it's been a lot of ups and downs, you know, a lot of emotions and a lot of great teammates that's passed by. And I mean, the fans and the organization. It's been a very emotional ride.
I don't know how players can walk around. I know I have a lot of trouble walking around the city. I'm embarrassed.
It's probably the toughest loss I've ever had in pro hockey.
It's been so fun with Mitchie and Maddie. We have a lot of fun out there, and I love playing with those two kids.
You think it's my fault? Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, he was just screaming in my ear. So, and he's a big fan of that song. He plays in the car sometimes. So he definitely is a big Bon Jovi guy.
You know, we've got to continue to adjust to the NHL level. And the difficulty of it is we're rolling here in the season, right? It's not like we can just put him out there and let him figure it out and sort it out. It's not as simple as that because we're in a very competitive division. We're in a shortened season. A lot of these bugs, as we've talked to him about, would usually be sorted out through exhibition. That hasn't been possible. So it's real tough. He's got to find ways to adjust through practice. We think a lot of the things that happen on our side of the ice with Nico that need to get better, both with and without the puck. So he's got to continue to get reps at that. That's been a focus for him in our development sessions yesterday and today and in our meetings with him. He's got to continue to find ways to adapt.
All right, James. So that was Sheldon Keefe discussing Mikko Lehtinen. And he kind of hits on some of the challenges that they face trying to integrate this guy who's coming over to the NHL for the first time. He had no preseason, and how difficult that's been, especially for a team that's trying to win and has other defensemen who can play. When do you think they kind of pull the plug with this? How many more opportunities do they give Lehtinen? Like, where do you see this going?
I still think what you do is you kind of tread water like this for a while, and because there's at some point there's going to be an injury on defense, even if it's a guy that goes down for two games, or there'll be a suspension, or something's going to happen. Like you never have your full blue line healthy all year. So it's been 10 games and they've been able to get through without an injury. I don't think they're going to be able to go another 10 games, and then you know there'll be more minutes and opportunity for everybody to play, especially you know if someone goes down on the right side all of a sudden. You know, it's going to be Dermott's going to have to switch over, and then, you know, there's going to be more opportunity probably on the left side. And so that's what I would do is I would just keep – it's a very condensed schedule, and guys are going to get tired and hurt, and you never know when you know, coronavirus could be – look at the teams around the league, the number of guys that some teams have in coronavirus protocol. You're going to need to be eight defensemen deep. And I know that this has been a big storyline that, you know, Dermott's playing 11 minutes a game and Lehtinen hasn't been in the lineup, but I think it's smart what the Leafs are doing. And they just have to say to these guys, like, be patient. Like, they need that depth, you know, because I'm not super confident with the guys they have after Sandin. So, you know, that group of eight, potentially, you know, you get two guys that get put in COVID-19 protocol, all of a sudden those guys are in your lineup regularly and playing a lot. So I think it's smart what the Leafs are doing, just waiting this out.
See, I actually disagree. I think they've kind of – I don't think this is what they meant to happen. I understand why they've tried to get Lehtinen in there, but I don't think it makes sense to go like this continually now. I also don't think it makes sense for Rasmus Sandin not to play at all. I think Sandin is theoretically better at even strength than Lehtinen.
Yeah, I'm not saying I would put Sandin into a game here coming up soon.
I would take Lehtinen out of the rotation. Like, he would drop down to eight. I wouldn't play him. I just think, I mean, you look at some of the numbers with Lehtinen and Bogosian, it's been a disaster, and you can see why. Like, he just doesn't look comfortable with the pace. He doesn't look comfortable with the size and speed and skill of some of these guys. Like, he looks like he should. Like, he looks like someone who's never played in the NHL before, who's coming over at 27, like...
He looks intimidated. He looks slow.
Intimidated. Like he looks slow, right? Exactly. Yeah. So I think what I would change is I would give Dermott some more run. And I mean, as we're recording this, we don't know what's going to happen with the Marlies season. Like, they still don't have a schedule. That, like, they need to find a way to kind of push this along with Sandin. And I think that's one of the mistakes that they kind of made. And I don't totally blame them because, you know, you sign Lehtinen, you sign Bogosian, and Sandin kind of falls behind. But he's like your most important prospect. Like, you have to find a way to do more than him just being involved in, you know, practice and like building his strength in the gym. And like, they're doing these sessions, like skill development sessions. But like, he hasn't played in almost 11 months. Like, this is, he's 20. Like, this is really important development time for him. So I think, like, you got to kind of at some point here very soon punt on Lettinen and start prioritizing Sandin.
Well, the AHL season is supposed to start this week, right? And then in Canada, it's been delayed a little bit. So, like,
yeah, well, because I don't believe they've gotten approval.
Right. In Ontario, they don't have approval for Belleville and the Marlies to play. So I think they were probably thinking they could mix Sandin in some games at the Marlies, the AHL level, the Marlies level, and that might end up falling through here, or it might get delayed or whatever. And you know what's interesting, Jonas, is this is some of the, I know some of the players kind of behind the scenes have said that they think that Lettinen can play. Like, they've seen him in the short training camp they've had and the abilities that he have. And like, there's some belief in the organization there that he can do it. It's just a question of, it's almost like he's got the ability, but can he rise to the occasion and show it in a game, you know, where obviously the pace is different than anything he's been used to. And I think what they should have done is in a game like against Ottawa, you know, or the Leafs just haven't had a lot of lopsided games. I mean, I think that they should play some of these guys like Sandin and Lettinen when you're facing a team like Ottawa that's clearly on the lower rung in the division. Like, Ottawa's not going to threaten for you for a playoff spot or the division lead. That's the kind of game where you can afford to give up an overtime point if you have to.
Yeah, well, and they've got some games coming up in February against Ottawa, so maybe they mix them in there. I just don't – I don't know. Like, if it was a longer season, if you had exhibition and you could kind of clean some of this stuff up, okay. But I just – I mean, they've talked a lot about how comfortable they are with him on the power play. Great. Like, I just don't know that they need it that much. Like, they need Lettinen on the power play so much that they should prioritize playing him ahead of Sandin or playing him ahead of Dermott. Like, I don't know. I kind of would change course at this point, and I wonder if we start to see more Dermott full stop, and maybe if they find a way to sneak Sandin in if there is no Marley season or if it's delayed.
So, well, Lettinen's played – he's played like 37 minutes total. He's played four games in 9 minutes a game. It's not like they've given him like an overwhelming opportunity that's, you know, even
well,
if you would have given
him. How many
Dermott,
does Sandin have? Like, that's zero.
Right.
Right. And like, I mean, he's on an expiring contract, James. Like, it's, I mean, I don't know. It doesn't, I don't blame them. I understand, like, you sign Lettinen, like, he's the best defenseman outside the NHL potentially. You have no training camp. You have no preseason. Like, it's a screwed up season. But now, like, we're 10 games into the season. He's played four games. How many more do you need to see before you change course? Maybe a few. I don't know.
I think I'd give him, like, two or three more chances, yeah. And do they have – I haven't looked super far ahead in the schedule. Do they have more Ottawa coming up? I would
– Yeah, they have a back-to-back.
The next time you play Ottawa, I would put Lennon in and give him, like, 15 minutes. Like just – play him a lot in the first period, let him get, and if he can't do it, he can't do it. You know, that's what I would do.
Is there anything positive you want to discuss? Because, like, we're kind of picking apart some of the holes.
You're driving the bus here, bud. Do you put it wherever you want? I mean, like, the biggest positive is the power play is the best in the NHL by far.
So let's talk about that.
Another big positive is Justin Hall, who we've talked about. I think the goaltending and the way Anderson's played lately is a positive. And I mean, their record's a positive. I mean, they put up a whole bunch of wins here against teams they're going to be competing against for playoff spots like Calgary, and you can't take that away from them. So that, I mean, it's not like they're not positives. I think just, you know, what were our expectations for this team are that they're going to get to a level where they're one of the best five or six teams in the NHL. And I'd be hard pressed to say that that's what they've looked like so far.
Well, and if you frame it a different way, it's actually encouraging for them that they have this record and they haven't actually been like lights out. Like, they haven't kind of hit their high gear. But let's take a second and actually talk about the power play. Obviously, the changes that they made is they have two units, and Manny Malhotra really wanted a net front presence on each unit. And you've seen the benefit of that. Like, Hyman's got a couple goals. Simmons has a couple goals. I mean, it's almost just like a very traditional kind of thinking. Like, you just get a guy around the net, you have all these great shooters, you have two units. I don't know. Like, I've wanted them to have two units for a while. It makes a lot of sense to me. Is there anything that's, like, surprised you about how it's looked? Are you surprised that it's been as, like, both units have been as explosive as they've been so far?
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's like I said, I mean, I was saying earlier in the show, I mean, it's been off the charts in terms of the success that they've had. So, you know, I don't know. This start this year kind of reminds me of those years. Remember, like, I think it was 2013, 14, the year after they made the playoffs, and they had that really hot start, weren't they? They were like 10-1-1 or something like that. And
yes,
I remember writing stories and being like, yeah, but like, you know, their possession's like really low and their PDO is really high. And like, you know, and I remember writing those stories for the first, whatever, 25 games. And I was just getting like hate mail and I was getting people like, you know, yelling at me and calling me names and stuff on Twitter. And so I think there's a balance you need to strike where, like, is the record real? And I think that for the, you know, the record that the Leafs have right now is their record's a little bit better than what they've done. But like you said, the division's not that good. And someone said to me that was affiliated with the team, they said, like, the biggest difference is that there's no Boston, there's no Tampa. You know, like, yeah. there's no, you're not playing in your division two of the three or four best teams on like road trips all the time. And you're not like the bar that the Leafs are going to have to hit here to win the division or get home ice advantage in the first round is just so much lower than it's been in the past. So I feel like we've talked about like the power play enough. And
okay,
I think that, you know, what's interesting to me is that, like, the other thing that we can talk about in terms of a positive is that the Leafs played a lot of games in a really short window of time. They didn't really get the rest that a lot of other teams did. I think part of why we saw those lulls in games and part of what we're seeing at even strength and on the penalty kill and the penalties they're taking is that they're gassed. Like, they're completely tired. You don't get a preseason game. You get a really short camp. Guys haven't played in a long time. And then you cram 10 games into the first, what was it? The first, like, I don't know.
I think it's like an 18-day stretch or something.
Like, it's just, it's wild. Like, we know this is going to be a condensed schedule. And then they get this four-day break. They give a lot of the guys 2 days off. I think that the positive is that they've weathered a couple of injuries here early on. They've played through a pretty grueling stretch in terms of how many games there have been. And, you know, if they have another gear, it would make sense for them to hit it coming out of this break.
All right. We'll get to reader questions in a second. Reader. They're not readers. They're listeners. Well, I guess they're both. Listener questions.
Oh, I'm hoping they're readers.
Yeah, they're readers. Readers and listeners. Fourth line. Quickly. Who are, like, your favorites? Who do you think should be on that line? This is like, wow, we're really nerding completely out here.
Yeah, but we just always do that on this show.
Digging into the... Yeah, I guess so. This is like...
When they're fully healthy, I think I would put VC down on the fourth line, to be honest with you. Like, I just haven't seen enough from him. But, you know, with the cast that they've got right now, I would like to see... I'd like to see something like Engvall, Boyd, and Anderson. But that's what I'd like to see. You know, the one
so
game...
So no Spezza.
I mean, I think he's going to come in and out. You know, if Spezza plays... I think Spezza's been fine, but I think he's the kind of guy that probably should only play like 60% of the games. Depending on, you know, if Kerfoot's hurt or whatever, then you're probably going to need another center around, and then you probably do want to dress Spezza. But I just want to get more of a look at I would want that fourth line to be like an energy line. That was the trio they used that one game, right? Engvall, Boyd, and Anderson.
Like, yeah, and that's exactly what it looked like.
It looked really, really good. Like, you know, they come out against the other team's fourth line. They skate really hard. They get a goal, you know, that's like someone like Engvall, he's going to look really overmatched when you have him on the ice against good players like Connor McDavid, for example, and that one goal against. But if you get him against other teams' fourth lines, he's going to look big. He's going to look fast. He's going to be able to create some things. And I don't know, that's the fourth. It's kind of a shame that they've had to mix and match and pull guys out so much because they had something there that looked like it worked and then they don't get another opportunity to play again.
Yeah, well, they're trying to give opportunities. We talked about Lettinen. They're trying to give Barabanov a chance. That hasn't gone very well. It'll be interesting once everybody's healthy. Like, I still like the idea of putting Kerfoot with Tavares and Nylander, but that kind of causes problems elsewhere because then you have a third line and a fourth line that you can't really depend on to eat some of those D-zone minutes. So... anyway, All right, James, you teased some reader questions.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
James, take it away.
I am debating what question I want. Should we start with the goofy music one? Let's see if I can see if I can find it here. Hold on. The music one was basically on the Athletic Hockey Show, which is our flagship hockey podcast at the Athletic. Dom and Haley were on, and they were making fun of my choice in music.
What about your choice in music? All the heavy metal?
Well, it's just, you know what, I'm like a different generation, right? So it's like, I mean, Dom and Haley are like 15 years younger than I am. All right, here it is. David says, Haley and Dom were talking smack about your taste in music on the Athletic Hockey Podcast. What music do you listen to that so disturbs them? He also wants to know when Dan Goes Brown's going to be on the podcast. So people keep asking that, so we're going to have to make that happen at some point. The music I listen to is, I was in high school in the 90s. The big music was first grunge. Like the bands I loved was Nirvana, number one, Pearl Jam, Red Hot Chili Peppers, you know, nothing like, what's that? Yeah, Soundgarden. Yeah, Chris Cornell's. Rest in peace. Amazing. All of those bands, that was kind of like my formative, you know, I started playing guitar when I was 14 or 15. I started playing in bands, you know, towards the end of high school, and was really into kind of that scene. But, you know, and I like heavier music too, Metallica, Megadeth, my favorite band is, I'm sure I've talked about this on the show, my favorite band is Tool, and kind of progressive alternative metal and stuff like that. That's the kind of music I listen to. And it seems really outdated now because the music, and Jonas, you're, I think, 7 or 8 years younger than me. You can explain kind of the way it's evolved. But, you know, a lot of that style of music, just like there's not a lot of new bands that are coming out that play that kind of music, and the stuff that's at the top of the charts isn't that kind of music. And, you know, grunge and alternative and even rock and roll has kind of really faded away. So, you know, if you're someone that grew up in a different time, it looks pretty weird that that's the kind of music that I listen to.
Well, here's what I'll say. I hope Haley and I hope Dom, they realize and take advantage of like what they have in terms of, like, we were talking about Apple Music and Spotify. Go back and like listen to all kinds of stuff. Like that's what I do. Like, and I love it because you just like stumble on stuff you've never heard before. You find like there's like live shows. Like back in the day, James, like if you wanted to listen to, I don't know, a Tool album or a Pearl Jam album, you had to have the album or you had to like catch the radio song that you wanted to hear. Like it's so much better now for finding new music. So that's all I'm going to say. Let's move on to... Let's get back to some hockey talk. What else you got?
Mahesh asks, would the NHL ever consider an FA Cup style tournament that runs during the regular season, cut games out of the regular season, play a round robin with divisions similar to what we have now, and have like a semis or a final event that replaces the All-Star game? I mean, I think that something like that would be great. Like if let's say they go back to a regular conference alignment, division alignment that we had in the past, and the Leafs are back in the Atlantic Division with the Florida teams and a bunch of US teams again, it would be cool to have like a little mini event that was between the Canadian teams at some point during the season. I don't follow European soccer, so I don't know the format exactly, but does anything like that appeal to you, Jonas?
It does. I just know that this is the NHL, and the NHL is slow as like anything and boring for the most part. Like we can't even, we still don't have like very good advanced stats on the NHL website. Like they're still debating what's a winless streak
and goal differential. They don't have shooting percentage on the NHL's website.
Right.
Like, I was looking today. I was like, I had to calculate it manually. Like what the hell?
They're still debating like James, like winless streaks and losing streaks and like just nonsense.
Stuff
like,
that no one cares about.
Stuff that no one cares about. And like the NBA has talked about this, about doing a midseason tournament this year. They're going to have like a play-in tournament to get into the playoffs. I just think the NHL is too rigid and like dinosaurish to go in that direction anytime soon.
Yeah, it's almost going to take, I think, you know, like
new leadership.
You know, whether it's baseball or the NFL or the NBA, kind of, I don't know. Like they had that play-in tournament that they had where the, you know, the Leafs lost to Columbus. I thought I would hate that, but I actually found it really kind of interesting. And I don't completely hate the idea of maybe there should be like a 9-8 play-in for the last playoff spot or something. I know baseball's done a little bit of that. I mean, I don't think that the playoff format needs to be the same way it was when I was like 7 years old, where like 16 teams make it and one plays eight and, you know, whatever. Like it's been the same way for a long time.
And there's nothing, the tweaks they have made are stupid. Like this whole, like it doesn't make any sense. Now this year is not fair to characterize it that way, but like this division based playoff thing is terrible.
Well, especially like if the division doesn't make any sense and there's no rivalries, like the Leafs are in the same division as like the Florida Panthers. Like what are you doing? Are you going to build a rivalry between the Leafs and the Florida Panthers? Does that make any sense at all? I've been saying for years, as you know, you're tired of hearing me talk about this, that there should be a Canada division. And I think that this year is proving that. I think that it's, you know, if there were fans in the building right now, the level of attention on these games would be incredibly high. We're going to get down to the end of the season, and I think the interest level is much higher in Canada with this Canada division. I'm watching a lot of games that don't involve, you know, the Leafs or the Canucks, who are the two teams I probably watch the most. I've always got one of those games on. Now, I haven't watched as much of the U.S. teams as I probably would have in the past, but there's something nice about them being real rivalries with a lot of these games. And I think that there's something that the NHL has these rivalries. Like Edmonton and the Leafs could be rivals if they just played more and played in the playoffs. So like, why not develop that? And why try to force weird rivalries where they don't exist?
The only thing is like they're saying we're going to build these rivalries by doing exactly that. We're going to build a rivalry between Toronto and Boston. And
I mean, there is one between Toronto and Boston, but they're just like they're playing Columbus. They played Washington 1 year. Like they're just, and then the format changes so frequently, Jonas, that there's not enough time for there to be for that rivalry to build. And I just think they have to really look at the geographics and really build those kind of rivalries, you know, and maybe that's harder in some places in the U.S.
And you know what, James? And get rid of shootouts. It's enough. Oh,
man.
It's enough now.
Fuck. I hated the shootout the first year. Like the worst so part about bad. The shootout to me is that becomes that crappy shootout game becomes a 3-point game. You know what I think they should do is every game's worth 3 points. And if it goes to a shootout, then that's when a win is only worth two. So like if you can't decide this game in regulation or overtime, you're not getting 3 points.
Yes. Amen. All right. Do you have any Leaf questions?
So the problem is I'm getting a lot of like Sandin questions, and I feel like we've talked that kind of to death.
Well, you know what? One thing I'll add with that, James, is the mistake they made, and here's what they were thinking at the time, is they did not play Sandin in Sweden in the fall. Yep. Now, there's some issues there. They wanted him to be available for camp. They didn't know when camp was going to start. Teams over there didn't really want guys to kind of come over for a couple months and then bolt in the top division. So, like, it's sticky, but it would have been better, even if he's playing in the second division in Sweden, to play 20 some odd games and then come over. It's just like they were waiting for camp. And
I don't know why they did that. And this is, you know, anyway, someone like Nick Robertson probably should have played somewhere too, right? Like, I wonder if he could have played somewhere in Europe. Jay Dixon asks me, what day is it? And that's because I tweeted the wrong day. Do you have a problem, Jonas, where every day is like this, where we're, you know, everything's blending together and you don't know what day? I thought today was Wednesday.
No, only because I use a calendar, like a physical agenda.
Piss off. I use a calendar too, but some days it's just like, I don't know.
No, like a physical thing. So I actually see what day it is.
I mean, like the same house, the same office, like I'm eating the same thing a lot of days and like I'm...
And what day is this today, James? Like literally?
Groundhog Day. I know. Well, that's the thing. It's like, I feel like watching that movie right now would be depressing just because it's like, that's actually what your life is kind of like. Okay. Per the Athletic article about the arenas. Did you see that article about the
I fans? Did.
Yeah, it was good.
They had BB&T Center way too high. That should have been last. That
well, they're relying on the actual fans of the particular team to rate. Wasn't BB&T bottom five?
Yeah, it should be last.
Well, I mean, it's the actual fan base rating it. Yeah, that's an old building, and it feels like a minor league building when you're in there. Like, no offense, it's Florida, but like
friggin'
like,
empty.
Well, not even just that, but just it just feels like it's old, right? Like it's, yeah. And I don't think it was really like they put a lot of money into that when they built it either. So. You know, I'm trying to think what year that would have been. Late 90s?
Mid-90s, yeah.
Yeah, when the team, yeah. So per that, check out that article. It was Mark Lazarus and Scott Powers, I believe, did it. They surveyed thousands and thousands of Athletic subscribers in every market to rate the various arenas. Vegas was number one, which I agree with 100%. Was Ottawa last? I believe Ottawa was last.
Ottawa was, yes.
Do you think a new single-purpose arena is on the Leafs' radar? If so, what's your gut sense of a potential timeline? I don't think this has been talked about at all. I actually wrote about this when, you know, the report came out that the Jays were looking at moving on from the Rogers Centre and either, you know, building on the same spot or potentially moving to another location. And, you know, I wrote an article kind of theorizing that, you know, maybe the Leafs could move into that location, you know, if they end up demolishing the Rogers Centre. And I have long thought, Jonas, I'm not from Toronto, and just as like an outsider moving here and seeing the situation and seeing how hard it is to get tickets and seeing how many diehard fans never get to go to a Leafs game at the arena, like it was really eye-opening for me because I grew up, my family didn't have a lot of money, and we used to go down to Canucks games all the time, and we would probably go to one a year or something like that. Like it was definitely a special occasion, but it wasn't out of reach, and it feels like the Leafs are out of reach for a lot of families. It's just... like people can't pay $200 a ticket to sit in the upper bowl. And anyway, so I've long thought that what the Leafs need is the biggest arena in the league. Like they're going to fill it every night. And I think that what that would do is it would allow them to get some more real fans in the building. They're going to help the atmosphere. And maybe you could have a section in the upper bowl that's like one of those sections that maybe doesn't have seats and it's like a standing area. And like you get the craziest fans in there and they pay like, whatever, $59 a game or whatever, and they can stand there and drink a beer, and that's the loudest section of the building. And I just think if the Leafs had like a 29,000 seat arena or whatever, that they could fill it, and it could potentially improve the atmosphere. Because I'm sorry, but like Scotiabank Arena, it's bad, and I was surprised how low it was on our rankings. But I thought about it, and it's like, well, they're not wrong. Like I don't think that, especially for, you know, the biggest fan base and the richest team right in the middle of downtown Toronto, that arena is not good enough for what the Leafs should have.
I think that's very well said. I've never actually heard that idea of making a bigger arena. That makes a lot of sense. Oh, man,
I've said that a couple of times, and usually in like a mailbag or something like that. But I think the Leafs should build the biggest hockey arena in the world.
Do you know what they need too, James? There's no, And I don't know how you do this with new buildings. There's no sense of history. There's no character.
No.
Like, there's,
well, in that article.
And now they've tried. They've tried, like, with the Legends Row stuff. And, like, it's just, I don't know if you can do it in some of these newer buildings where you have that character feel to it. I don't know.
But why not, though? It feels like it should be easier. Like, if Vegas can do it and, like, put a bar on the roof and, like, you know, Tampa's got that cool thing with, like, the band outside and everything. And, like, there's... I think they just need to think a little bit more outside the box, because the new arenas, like, they seem very cookie cutter. Like, you go to the new building and,
yes,
I don't know if the fans don't get mad at me for saying this, but you go to the new building in Newark and then you go to the new building in Pittsburgh and it's like, okay, like, they seem very, very, very similar. Like, they're using the same architecture firms or whatever. And what the Leafs should do is, like, say, like, cost is not a factor for us. We are going to spend more on a hockey arena. Like, it's kind of like what the Dallas Cowboys did and stuff, right? In the NFL, like, we're going to spend double what someone normally spends on a hockey arena. We're going to make it way bigger. We're going to make it have all kinds of crazy things in it. Like, I don't know. Maybe they could have, like, a bridge that goes over the ice surface so you can, like, walk over it during the game and look down through the glass, or I don't know. Like, just, like, do some different things. Like, think outside the box. And there's no reason why the Leafs couldn't do that, you know, and the ACC or the Scotiabank Arena or whatever. I think that they should build something and call it Maple Leaf Gardens 2. Maybe it'll be Scotiabank Maple Leaf Gardens 2.
And sequel.
Have it be just enormous. Have it be as big as you can make a hockey arena.
Yeah, you just need land for that. So, well, maybe the Rogers Center.
Tear Rogers Center down. Land. Get that piece of, I don't know. Wouldn't it be cool? And I also think, and this is another thing that I always talk about, is I think there should be two teams in Toronto. So Leafs move into, like, the Taj Mahal, the Maple Leaf Garden 2, get an expansion team, let the Toronto Towers or whatever the hell you want to call them be the second team in Toronto. That way, any kid growing up that likes hockey will be able to go to an NHL game in his city, and there'll be another great rivalry. The Canada Division gets its eighth team, and I think it'd be great. I think it'd be great for the NHL. I think it'd be great for hockey. It'd be good for fans. It'd be good for, and it'd be good for the Leafs too, getting this huge building and getting more of their fans in the building. And, you know, I think the Leafs really risk losing the next generation of the fan base, because they can afford to go to see a Jays game or even a Raptors game, or, you know, I see kids getting into, you know, TFC, all kinds of different stuff. If they can never go to a Leafs game, that's a problem. That's a barrier for creating lifelong fandom.
Yeah, 100%. I think it should be even cheaper than $70, but anyway.
Well, I mean, it's
for this imaginary stadium.
The problem with that, it's all supply and demand, right, Jonas? Like, it's so, like, what you're trying to do, if you have a second NHL team and you make a really big building for the Leafs, then you're increasing supply, which is what needs to happen here. I mean, the city is, what are we at?
Remember Toonie Tuesdays?
Six and a half. No, what's that? Was that tickets?
The Jays used to have Toonie Tuesdays, and you could sit in the 500 section for $2. And now the issue is people would spend all the extra money on beer and just get hammered.
Well, but as is their right.
But if you have a family and you can take your family to the game for $10, pretty good.
Yeah, well, like, my son he's five, and he's been to, like, I think he's been to four Jays games, I want to say. He's never been to a Leafs game. Like, it would make no sense. And the other thing, too, is they don't put any games on in the afternoon. So, anyway. Should we?
One more question, James, and then we got a punt.
All right. This is probably a decent one. What do you think the most likely trade targets are for the Leafs? Feels like it needs to happen soon, if it's going to happen at all. You know, because of, like, all the restrictions on travel and stuff like that. There's been a lot of buzz around Calgary's Sam Bennett from the fans. Do you think that's a real chance the Leafs will make a move this season? That's from Zachary Tolson. It's a good question. I think it's a bit early for the Leafs to identify what they need. There have been reports that they're potentially looking at adding a forward. I think that would probably be a depth forward, just because of their cap situation not being that forgiving. The problem I see with Sam Bennett, Jonas, is that I'm not sure if he's a third line guy or a fourth line guy. I'm not sure if he can be your third line center. He only had 11 points last year, and he makes $2.55 million, and the Leafs don't have that cap space for a guy. If he's going to end up on your fourth line, that doesn't work. I don't know. Maybe if the Flames want to eat half the salary or something, they're. I know that the Leafs looked at Sam Bennett. He's a guy that has potentially been on the move for a couple of years now. But what I don't know is how much they like him or if there's still interest. It's just the front office has been very, very quiet the last little while.
Well, here's why he kind of profiles as someone Kyle Dubas might be interested in. I think the main reason is he has that I'm trying to think of the way to describe it.
He's a reclamation
top five pick.
Reclamation
yeah,
project.
And, yeah. And so like he has the pedigree of a former top five pick. Like he was a monster in London. And so like even if you can get something out of him, like there's talent in there. Can you turn it around? Is the situation the problem? It is a little concerning like that he's kind of plateaued and never played more than like 15 minutes a night. But you know what else is interesting? And I don't know what's behind it. Like his playoff numbers have been fantastic. Like he was somehow every playoffs he's made it. Yeah. Like, and it seems to happen every year. Like he seems to find another gear in the playoffs. So like if you think ahead and like you could find a way to make it work, like you think of a fourth line with him and like Boyd and like Anderson or Spezza or whatever, like suddenly like maybe you got something, but I don't know.
If the Flames wanted to retain, I mean, their cap situation is really tight too, but if the Flames wanted to retain half or retain a big piece of that contract, then that would be something I would think about looking. Just because I think Bennett is a little bit like Kasperi Kapanen in that he's got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. He hasn't really delivered on the promise that he had coming into the league. And I don't think we know what he is yet. You know, and he's one of those guys that, what is he, 24 now? He's getting a little bit
24,
older.
Yeah. Man, James, like, they don't miss you on your top five picks. Like,
what
they
a huge
pick him
difference,
fourth
right?
overall. Oh, my God, it kills you. Like, they pick him fourth overall. Nylander obviously goes eighth. Ehlers goes ninth. Vrana goes 13th.
Forsberg went in that draft, too, right?
Forsberg went. Pasternak goes 25. Like,
well, Forsberg, I don't know what – I remember being at that draft, and I was like, I wonder if the Leafs are going to take him. And he slipped to that.
No, Forsberg's at a different draft. I think he's not in this one.
Oh. Well, that must be the Riley draft I'm thinking of. That's my mistake. There's one more good question I'm going to throw at you here. Kevin LeBlanc says, the podcast rocks. Thank you, Kevin LeBlanc. Rank the likelihood of these players wearing blue and white next year. You ready, Jonas? There's four.
Yep.
Kerfoot, Vesey, Thornton, Simmons. Are they going to be back? I mean, Kerfoot's under contract, okay. So he's probably number one. I mean, regardless of what you think. I mean, his season's been kind of just whatever, but.
I would go Kerfoot, Simmons, Thornton, VC. How about you?
Yeah, I think that's right. I was thinking of putting Thornton higher, but he's old. I think Thornton's going to continue to play, and the only thing with Simmons, I think if he has a bit of a bounce back year here and the Leafs aren't going to really be able to offer him a lot of money, I wonder if he thinks about going somewhere else. Like that's the only.
Yep.
So I think I would go Kerfoot, Thornton, Simmons, VC. VC's got to show me more before I think about bringing him back.
Yeah, the fit hasn't been great. It's not worked.
I was calling him on Twitter today. I called him invisible. Hmm? Instead of invisible?
Oh, God.
Do you think the puns should come to the show? Maybe one day I could go through the whole roster and just wrap off the entire roster in puns.
Maybe like once a month we'll make it a new feature. You get to use some puns.
I'll get my guitar up here and I'll do something with it.
Alright, well, if you haven't subscribed to The Athletic, go to theathletic.com/LeafReport. You can rate and subscribe us on Apple, and you can write in comments in the Athletic app. James, do you have anything else to add? The Leafs have a couple games with Vancouver this week, and then we'll be back next week.
I was going to ask you, have you invested in GameStop yet?
I have not.
Oh, okay. Do you think I should?
I am the wrong person to ask.
All right. I was just seeing if you're keeping up on current events.
Well, I have been trying to follow it. It's like, it's a little too...
It's so interesting. Did you read the Wall Street Journal story of the guy that started it? It's fantastic. It's just amazing.
Maybe I will.
He's like a multimillionaire now from this thing. It's just, I love stuff like this.
All right. Well, good recommendation. I will check that out. And you and I will chat next week. Everyone stay well. Thank you for listening as always. And close us out, James. Wrap.
I don't have my rap ready. Didn't know you asked me to rap multiple times on the show, which I wasn't prepared for.
not Jay-Z can do it.
I'm not Jay-Z. Well, I think Jay-Z probably put at least a little bit of thought into it. Also, I told you what kind of music I like, and rap's probably it's pretty far from my expertise.
All right, we will chat next week. Thanks, James.